We're coming to the final part of this four-part series titled The Christian's Service with Disabled People. Now, final one, I'd like to give an introductory word first before we proceed into these Bible verses and talk about them. The Bible knows nothing about classes or structure, such as the Hindus have different classes or structures of people, all the way from the top to the bottom, to the untouchables. And it seems in the church that there are many people, disabled people, such as mentally retarded, who are placed in that class of the untouchables. Have you heard of that word, or that class of people, that class of Christians? Have you heard of that class of people? One class of Christians, second class of Christians, third class of Christians. Really? The answer is no. There should be no classes or segregation in Christianity. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. The only head should be Jesus Christ himself. And it says that all are equal. The mentally retarded, yes, of course. And that is important to God. You know, and also in regard to husband and wives. In God's sight, we are all equal. Remember reading a book by Dale Evans about her retarded daughter called Angels Unaware? Angels Unaware. And how much influence her life had upon others. Now we're going to study this word. But first of all, read Galatians chapter 3, verses 27 and 28. Now, we read that it says, because you are all the sons of God, all from God, for you are all the sons of God through faith. The sons of fear, the leader or not, or if you don't like to have a leader. And I agree that in some ways, sons seems to focus this thing picture on males, but really it means both men and women. And it refers to being children of God. And then it goes on, in verse 20 it says, and you are not Jews, not Greeks, and you are not slaves, and you are not free, and you're not male or female, because you are all one in Christ Jesus. And I wish Paul had added to that word, even those who are considered unnormal or disabled. And that would surely have made a great impression upon Christians for all time. What do you think if he'd added those words? In fact, in God's eyes, all are the same. There's no difference. And that would be, and that will be realized in heaven. We're going to go ahead and read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. Why do people have enemies? I don't use big Greek words. Like Dan Erlander. But why is your Discord? He has Danny. That must be Dan Erlander. But why is your Discord? Why? Why? As people say, it's want to do it their own way. That's right. What's another reason or a cause of discord?
Ignorance.
Says unity. You can't wave your hand at him. Put your hand up then to point to me if you want to put it up, okay? He says ignorance. Ignorance.
The fear.
Fear. Any more?
I said about many people in the million to hate me. I think it's more than being afraid of them than anything.
Many people hate other people of other races because they're afraid of them more than anything else. What about disabled people? Two chief reasons. First is they look down on them. They have a paternalistic attitude. The second one is pride. If they're deaf or they're blind or they use a wheelchair or they're mentally retarded, they say, oh, poor thing, I'm glad I'm not like him. And if they have unity in Christ in the church, then let us begin now. You know, not just waiting for everything to be perfect in heaven. You know, surely that will come true. But let us begin right now with ourselves. And you read in verse 2 and it says, with all humility, lowliness, and gentleness, with patience and acceptance of one another in love. And that's the key to the destruction of discord. Are there any questions? Some people still do that, though. Yes, some people still do. And it's sad. They still cause discord. And I think a number of black people, no? Most of our black people, no. It's not, you can't blame it on black people. You can't blame it on one group of people. We're all sinners and we all cause discord. Well, I'd hope that people here would understand the deaf more and be able to love them better. I hope she's signing it in. He's signing it in for the deaf people that didn't see. Same sentence. You know. Okay. I think so, yes, he agrees. Anyway, it's clear that there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. That both normal and disabled people will be in heaven because we all have the same Lord. Okay, go ahead and read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 27. Do we all, what do we all say every Sunday morning? We say the Apostles' Creed. It says, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and so forth. What does that mean when we say, I believe in the Holy Christian Church? It's not baptism. Worshipping God?
All the believers?
All the believers as a group. Right. And the attitude that we learn in the Lutheran Catechism, you know, in connection with that. God's building or the holy priesthood, you can call it the church these things, the body of Christ, etc. There are many different words that all mean the same thing. But they all focus on this one thing, that we are all members of the body of Christ. It's a picture of the Christian. Some parts are very intelligent. You know, some people are sensitive and so forth. You know, you might think of maybe one member that's just not being as important, more like your little toe. You know, I think maybe this little finger isn't important, so maybe I should cut it off. Boy, you'd be hurt. Now, if you were disabled, you know, do we reject them from the church and think of ourselves as higher than others and only allow those who are the best to come into the church? That attitude needs to be criticized and canceled because, you know, of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you see some people in a wheelchair, somebody in a wheelchair, you should welcome them in. If you see somebody mentally retarded, you should welcome them in. If you see somebody deaf or blind, welcome them in. Into your own church. It says in verse 22, I'd like to read it again. And it says, no greater, the less greater members of the body seem to be, which seem to be the weakest in importance, need to be recognized. And that's true. It's clear. Disabled persons show this verse in a very clear way. And it seems, doesn't seem, you know, like that we should really give much concern to somebody that's disabled, that they can't give anything to the church. But that when we bring someone disabled to church, you'd be surprised what they can do. Why is it? In other parts, the disabled person receives one or more gifts of Christ. And in God's wisdom, he gives maybe 10 talents to someone. But he also gives maybe 5 talents to another person, another Christian. And he might give only 1 talent, or 1/2 of a talent, to another Christian. So should we in church reject that person because he only has 1 talent? No. God expects even the person with the least of the talents, or somebody with average skill, or even the person that's most intelligent, to be used. So we can read in Romans 12, chapter 3, and then verse 20. Romans 12, verses 3 and 21. 3 through 21, sorry. You can put that. I said, I wish that fly would like somebody else. He said, yep, he loves you. And I said, yeah, but that's a matter of opinion.
I just read that, didn't you?
I don't think flies are included in this. We don't have a fly catcher. Who would like to volunteer to be a fly catcher? Connie. Another lesson on wisdom. There are many areas of advice, and we'd like to focus on this one verse, the verse 3, 4, 5, and it says, not to think of yourselves as higher than you ought to think. That's a temptation that we all need to shove aside. And think, well, you know, normal people, they always look down on the disabled. But also, the disabled people, who maybe are more intelligent or have more talents, look down on other disabled people. Often we see the deaf saying, oh, boy, he went to Gallaudet College, you know, really intelligent. And he looks down on other deaf people that didn't go to Gallaudet College. Some ways, yes, that's true. All Christians need to pray that the Holy Spirit would help them to accept one another and reject pride and prejudice. Also, God has given to everyone the same measure of faith. You know, but that faith varies. And also, all members, also, we have many members in one body, but we all have, all members do not have the same function. You know, clearly God gives gifts to different people and different talents. Some can preach, others can teach, others can clean, others can sing in the choir, others can take care of kids, others can do carpentry work, and so forth. Disabled people can contribute in their own ways. And we should not reject them and make the church that of only, quote, normal Christians. We each then have gifts, each given according to the grace that God has given us. But they're each different. For example, mentally retarded, for example. Say, oh, he can't do anything. Can't clean the church. Can't. But don't forget, he can give love better than any one of us can give. And that's one example or discussion.
I don't have much talent, but I think that all of them belong to the same God.
She's deaf, but she raised a family of children that all serve the Lord in His kingdom. Any other examples? We're going to go ahead and read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 3 to 11. Go ahead and raise your hand, and I'll, when he gets you, turns around again, I'll get him.
Okay.
Besides this fly.
Yeah. I was just going to say that, you want to wait?
Yeah, I'll wait till he turns around. Okay, go ahead.
We have a handicapped group of boys that come to our men's breakfast every Saturday morning. And it's really been a blessing for us because some of their insights are really eye-opening for us. Some of their prayer concerns and some of their honesty and openness.
Do you go to men's prayer breakfast?
Well, it's a men's Bible breakfast. Or actually, it's a Bible study that we meet every Saturday morning.
My dad goes to Tuesday morning one on Friday morning. Mm-hmm. He really enjoys it. Praise God for that. It's a good beginning. Mm-hmm. You can do even more after that. You know, as time goes on, you can proceed and build from that. And you tell that each has different gifts. It means that we also have different. Does it mean we have a different spirit from God? That would be a heresy. No, we all have just one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We're all given the same Holy Spirit. Normal Christians as well as the disabled. Now God has given these talents to be shared among all of us. And I'd like to give an example of what would happen. I was telling him when you were reading, because I read fairly fast. But anyway, I was telling him that I have a book at home, and it's called Please Help Me. And I don't know, it's about, if you have it, it's a very good book. And it's about the experience of these Episcopal women that went to help mentally retarded in an institution. And this woman, this Episcopal woman, was walking around in the park, and she sat down on a bench near a retarded girl. And they started talking, and the retarded girl asked the woman, "What have you done for Jesus today?" And this woman said that her mouth was like that because she never witnessed for Jesus. And here was this mentally retarded girl that lived in a institution that was witnessing for the Lord. You know, they thought, you know, she was mentally retarded. She couldn't say anything, didn't know anything about Jesus. And she said, "What have you done for Jesus to this woman that was, quote, normal?" You know, the Holy Spirit had used this girl. It's about my friend, and she's talking about a friend in Iowa. She was mentally retarded, and her mother died in a car accident. Yeah. And God used her, too. You know, God uses us. You know, He can use the blind as well as the deaf. He can use anyone to witness and to serve. Charles says, "I have a story." He wants to get done. He's closing her. He wants to go to lunch, I think. Anyway, I'd like to read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 and 16. "To us, but to Jesus first. Then the Holy Spirit came to us after He came to Jesus." That's true. That's historically true. Okay. Look at these words. "According to the measure of Christ's gift." The measure, what does it mean? It means that He gives each one of us varying degrees of talent and skill. Some of us receive more. Does that give us the right to become proud and bold-headed? Does that person who receives more have the right, or is she supposed to have more responsibility? Or will he have more of an account to give to Jesus on that judgment day? So we need not be jealous of, quote, the mentally gifted, or fear that they'll become the leaders of the church. But instead, we need to give. He has given us each gift, and we need to use them. Verse 16 says that we all are joined together. Therefore, let us all work together. And then, most important gift is that God wants us to use. What is it He wants us to use? What's the most important gift that He wants us to use? Well, yes. You might be doing that, but you obey Him and He keeps us from trouble on the judgment day. What's the most important gift that we need to use? And that's love. That word is God's love. If we see and love people here and not be in cliche, you know, cliches, you know, and go home in a click, then we also need to love one another. Right here, we need to begin that right now. That should be the goal.
of Holden Village. That is the goal of Holden Village, is to show love for one another. If we show one another love, then we deaf and the hearing can show love to each other. And that is the goal that should be accomplished. That is God's will. Are there any other questions or discussion, comments? I'd like to go on and proceed with a small example of how God used the disabled people for his kingdom. Okay, begin with Moses in the book of Exodus, chapter 2 and 4. God called Moses, and he said, I want you to go work for me, and I want you to save my people from Egypt, to take them out of Egypt. And Moses said, who, me? And himself had experience as a prince for more than the first 40 years of his life. And he knew Egypt very well. And he knew it as a very powerful nation. And Moses tried to excuse himself, saying, oh, I have lousy speech. I talk awful. Did God accept that excuse? He says, no, you go. And your brother Aaron will help you. He says, well, no, that's not enough. He said, I'm lousy at my speech. He says, oh, then okay. God says, I'll help you. He was really getting angry with Moses and cross with him. And I said, if God calls, called him to save him from the Midianites, and the Arabs, the Jews, and the Arabs are now at war with each other. But during the Old Testament times, and it's been that way even up to today, they're still at war. And that time, the Arabs had the upper hand, and they had control over the Jewish people. But God chose this one man. He said, I'm just a farmer. I can't do anything. I'm an ignorant old man. And he says, choose somebody else to be a leader. Gideon. Okay, Gideon was a farmer. Third, he says, this one is God used Samson. He was very strong. He performed many miracles with the strength that God gave him. And then after Delilah cut off his hair, he lost his strength. And then these soldiers, the Philistines, made him blind. But God didn't think of him as useless. God allowed his hair to grow again. And then when many enemies came to converge on him, and the circus, with his strength, he destroyed God's enemies. In Job 2, verse 7 and 10, it says that God gave a lot of suffering. Job had boils all over his body. And yet, as the Epistle of James says, Job said, in his terrible sickness and suffering, he was able to help many people during his time by what he said. In Isaiah chapter 6, when God came and chose Isaiah, he was shocked that he himself, who was a cousin of the king, a prince, a cousin of the king, he said that when Isaiah looked up and he saw the purity of God and the angels in the heavens, he said, I'm just a sinner. And he says, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. Jeremiah. When God called him, Jeremiah said, who, me? I'm just a young teenager. Maybe he was 17, 18, 19 years old. Maybe even 20. He said, I'm just a kid. But God chose him to live at the hardest time and have the most difficult ministry. Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 and 10. This is in Paul. Had a thorn. What was that thorn? I don't know. Some commentaries think that maybe he had epilepsy. Some think that maybe he had arthritis. Some think that he was blind. Some think they know the thorn. He knew his thorn was some kind of disability. And yet God said, you can still have it, but here I am, I'll take care of you. But when these people, whether they complained or tried to decline from responding to God's call, God said, I am with you. We cannot depend on ourselves, but we can only depend on God. And if it wasn't for His grace, I would have never been a pastor of the deaf. He doesn't give us some, He gives only one gift. But He also gives us His grace and His wisdom, and He's also always with us. Are there any questions or comments? Charlotte? I'm confused. With God and Jesus, you pray to Jesus all the time. But you say you must depend on God. You depend on God and you pray to Jesus. How? You have to depend on both. Jesus is God also. Are there any questions? I'd like to jump ahead a little bit. You know, we all look at ourselves and we say, what are we on earth? What are we here to do? We can read in 1 Romans 8:28. Anyway, what seems wrong? It says that we are all to work together for His for good, for His glory. You know, it's hard for me to just choose one example. You know, maybe one example, we two good Christians are going to church on a regular basis. One maybe doesn't go anymore. Or maybe both. Even though both of them maybe sang in the choir, that was all. And then immediately one of the believers dies of a heart attack. And it's an awful loss, and the other person feels helpless. But after they pass the different, pass through the different various stages of grief, they find themselves becoming a church leader, their home church, but also traveling around and a leader helping other churches in Christ in their Christian life. Maybe you and I can relate many more examples or tell many more examples like that of parents. Maybe they think of their home life, their job, it's enough. But then they find that they have a deaf child. They say, what should we do? and so they learn signs to help the child through his deafness and help him grow up in school and to help him join in the church work within the deaf community. The parents, there are many parents of the deaf who have deaf children. No, that's just one example. Seems maybe something happened, goes wrong, but somehow it'll work out later on. Are there any more comments? No, my daughter, which is born, went to school in 1942, and my son, you know, you met him, he's mentally retarded. Yes, I believe that verse applies to us. When something terrible, an awful time comes, a disaster happens in our life, remember this verse. This is God's promise. He's never broken a promise. Are there any more discussion or comments? Okay, go ahead and read First Corinthians 1, verses 26 to 29. In Old Testament times, the prophets and the servants of God likely make up excuses, say, oh, I'm not smart enough, you know, I'm not gifted, you know, I'm not any better than these other people, use that person over there, not me. Many of us like to pass the buck. Many of us like to say, buck stops right here, or the shoe fits here. I like to say, oh, you know, and we say, oh, I don't have time, go get somebody else. God does not call the best of Christians. No, it doesn't say that. But it says that God wants to use all of us. Yes, all of us. It says that the things that are despised, God has chosen. And the things that are not, to bring nothing to the things that are. See, maybe, you know, if somebody's intelligent or gifted, a Christian, God sets that aside. And then he asks others of average Christian intelligence to do his work. It's just what God is saying here. And then he comments. What do you have to share with us? Okay. Read in John chapter 12, verse 26. Christ himself has called every one of us to follow him. Christ has called every one of us to be his servants. Any comments? That's what I said. So she's talking about when she was a little girl. That's our problem. You know, we try to avoid responsibility so we can't do it. But God wants us to be responsible servants, stewards of his word. You know, last time I had a discussion with deaf people in Columbus, Ohio, they thought the word the disciples, the 12, were those who were only qualified to preach God's word. And I had to tell them they also were disciples. And the deaf in Columbus, Ohio said, not me. I'm not one of his disciples. Boy, that was an awesome call. And I said, yes, you are. And that's true for you and me also. We're all called to be his disciples.